Hands up if you like going to the cinema. Cinema. Yeah, one or two of you. Good. Excellent. You know, I'm one of those people that just loves getting there early. You know, the 20 minutes before the actual film starts. And I know some people don't. But I just love getting there early, and you can settle in. You make sure there's no one with a big head sitting in front of you. And you can avoid the people with the popcorn. You know the ones I'm talking about. Sorry if you're a popcorn eater, by the way. We're an inclusive church here. And you can settle it, you can watch the adverts, and something, it's something, you know, when it's the big screen, adverts look so much more appealing, don't they? So you can watch the ad, and then you get to the best bit where you watch the trailers. Hands up if you like watching the trailers. Yes, it's wonderful, isn't it? So if you're the sort of person who likes getting to the cinema early and watching all the stuff and loves watching the trailers, then hang on to that thought. Because the trailers are a preview of what's to come. And in today's passage, Jesus is giving us a preview. He's giving his disciples a preview of what's to come. Today's passage is from John chapter 14. And in John chapter 14 begins with a famous bunch of words that are probably most often read at funerals. The disciples are a bit worried. There's talk of betrayal, there's talk of death, they don't know what's going on, they've been with Jesus for all this time, it's all coming to an end, they don't know what's happening, and Jesus says these wonderful words to them. He says, don't be worried and upset, believe in God, believe also in me, and he gives them some lovely, wonderful images, and basically he says, I've got to go away, but if I go away, I will come back, and then through me, you'll be able to have life. And he talks about the fact, I am the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father but by me. It's a lovely, lovely passage. But you know, and this is really important, this passage is not just Jesus talking to us about the life to come. He's not just talking to his disciples about what heaven's going to be like. If this passage were just about that, then our faith would be pure escapism. So that's not what this passage is about. It's not about life after our death. It's about life after Jesus' death. That's what the passage is about. Because it's only after Jesus' death that we'll be able to experience what he describes as life in all its fullness. I have come, he says, so that you might have life in all its fullness. And there's a phrase we use for that life. It's a phrase you find in the Bible. And it's the phrase, life in the Spirit. You want to know what life in all its fullness is? It is life in the Spirit. And so today's reading is it's a bit like a coming soon trailer. It's Jesus giving us a preview of what life in the Spirit is. Will be like. So let's hear what he has to say. If you want to follow in the Pew Bibles, it's on page number 1082. And it's John chapter 14. And we begin at verse 15. It's the bit under the heading, Jesus promises the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll obey what I command. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in the Father and you are in me and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him. Then Judas, not Judas Iscariot, the other Judas, said, but Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus replied, if anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and he will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. All this I have spoken while still with you. But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. Shall we pray? Come now, Holy Spirit, Counselor, Spirit of Truth. Come now and bring understanding to our minds and to our hearts and to our lives. For Jesus' sake we pray. Amen. I was talking to Alpha on Thursday. Thursday's Alpha was the night where we talk about the Holy Spirit. And I was talking about how we as Christians believe that the Holy Spirit has actually always been present. He has always been around. He's there at creation. If you read the very first verse of the very first book of the Bible, it says, the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. He was there from creation, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. Because the Holy Spirit is how God acts. The Holy Spirit is how God is present. It's how God gets things done. And often he does it through people. If you read through the Old Testament, you'll see how he comes upon great people, well, ordinary people, actually, and he makes them great. People like David, people like Isaiah the prophet, people like Moses. The Holy Spirit comes upon them. But the big difference that Jesus makes is this. And this is what Jesus is talking about to his disciples. The big difference he makes is this. Before his death and resurrection, the Holy Spirit only comes upon certain people. After his death and resurrection, he can come upon everyone. Before his death and resurrection, the Holy Spirit is always described as being with us. After Jesus' death and resurrection, the Holy Spirit is described as coming within us. This is the experience Jesus is talking about to his disciples in John chapter 14. The experience of the Holy Spirit coming within them. And how do we experience the Holy Spirit within us? Well, look at verse 15. Because if you do, you'll see that Jesus actually connects three things in a sequence. And then he comes back to these three things again and again and again. And he's a bit like, John's gospel is always like that. He brings something in, and then he leaves it there, and then he comes back to it and adds a bit more, and then he leaves that there, and then he comes back to it and adds a bit more. That's what John's gospel is always like. So he brings something in there in verse 15. He's going to come back to it again and again. And these three things are loving Jesus, obeying Jesus, and then being united with Jesus. And through Jesus, being united with God the Father. So to experience this, we need first to love Jesus. You know, lots of people like Jesus. Even the most avowed atheists generally struggle to find anything wrong to say about Jesus. He's quite widely known. He's quite universally liked and admired. No one has a bad word to say against him. But liking or respecting someone is not the same as loving them. And if you've ever been in love, you'll know what I mean. Because if you're in love, everything changes. The world changes. Jesus calls us to love him. And he goes on to say that the measure of our love for him will be how much we are willing to obey him. How much we're willing to follow him, to become like him, to obey his teachings. Remember the Sermon on the Mount? All Jesus' teachings condensed into three wonderful chapters in Matthew's gospel. And how does that sermon end? It ends with a parable. Jesus says, if you obey my teachings, you will be like a wise man who builds his house on a rock. Throughout his ministry, Jesus had been teaching them. And now he says, if you love me, you will obey my teachings. And remember, in John's gospel, he goes one step further. Like, the law says that the most important thing is to love our neighbor as ourself. But in John's gospel, Jesus takes that one step further and says, a new commandment I'm giving you. Not just to love your neighbor as much as you love yourself, but to love each other as I love you. So we're not just talking about human love here. We're talking about God's love. He commands us to love each other in the same way that God loves us. And remember, it was God's love that took Jesus to the cross. So that is the sort of love he's talking about here. Costly, sacrificial love. To love Jesus is to obey his commandments, and the greatest command is to love others with the same love he has for us. And it's when we do this that we begin to experience God's presence. And we experience it in a way that we've never experienced it before. And he talks about this in verse 20. On that day, he says, you will realize that I am in the Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him. What Jesus is describing here is life in all its fullness. It's experiencing God in a way that we've never experienced him before. I said earlier that we all experience the Holy Spirit in different ways. How God's Spirit has always been present in the world from the very beginning, which means he's all around us and he's holding everything in place, and the very life that we have ourselves is his gift to us, and it's a sign of his presence. So we all experience the Holy Spirit at that way, at that level. Everybody does. Whether they understand, whether they're Christian or not, they're still experiencing God's presence. But he's also at work in people's lives. He draws people to Christ. You don't have to be a Christian to experience the Holy Spirit, but the reason you are a Christian is because he has been at work in your life, drawing you to Jesus. We were talking at evening worship a few weeks back about Muslims and how the vast majority of Muslims become Christians because they've been drawn to the Jesus that is spoken of in the Quran. And they're not satisfied with what they're reading, and then they come across the name Jesus, and they think, oh, I must find out more about him. And that's the Holy Spirit at work. And we're talking a couple of weeks back, Rob Holden was talking about what used to be called New Age spirituality. And nowadays, as he said rightly, it's mainstream spirituality because it's everywhere. But he was talking about that's a sign of the Holy Spirit at work, because there's a whole bunch of people out there who are no longer satisfied with materialism. And they know that there's something more. And so they try searching for it in all sorts of different ways. And again, that is a sign of the Holy Spirit at work in them. Because they will find that answer when the Holy Spirit draws them to Jesus. So there are many different ways in which we experience the Holy Spirit. But that is not what Jesus is talking about here. What he's talking about here is something much deeper and much more profound. I try and illustrate by saying it's a bit like the difference between a dripping tap and a full-flowing river. That's what he's talking about here. He's not talking about the dripping tap. He's talking about the river in full flood. Or Nicky Gumbel sometimes talks about it as a boiler that's just on pilot. You know, most of our gas boilers are on pilot. And then when the time comes for the water to come on, woof, you hear that big woof and the house shake. Well, it depends on your house, actually. And that's woof. That's the Holy Spirit full power, you know. And it's that sort of difference that Jesus is talking about here. And he's giving them a preview of what's going to happen to them at Pentecost. And then we all know the story. And if you don't know it, look up Acts. It's the next book on from John, Acts chapter 2, and it describes exactly what happens. And it's amazing. There's the disciples. They've been told to wait and pray in the upper room. And then the Holy Spirit's going to come upon them. And so that's exactly what they do. And then comes. And they're filled to overflowing with this amazing experience of being united with Christ. Because that's what the experience is. It's the experience of being united with Christ and so being caught up into the Godhead. The Holy Spirit unites us with the Godhead. And that's what they're experiencing at Pentecost. At Pentecost, they are feeling the full force of God's love. And it's the love of the Father for the Son and the love of the Son for the Holy Spirit. And it's true and it's selfless and it's gracious and it's forgiving and it's joyous and it's real and it's all-powerful and it's life-changing. And they have never experienced love like this before. God's love. And it sweeps them out into the streets full of joy, full of praise. They've never, never, ever experienced this before. And it's an amazing experience. I wonder if you've ever experienced that. You know, God's love. It's like the curtain is drawn aside and you get a full blast of God's love. Lindsay and I first experienced this when we were working in Pakistan. And you know, for days we couldn't stop smiling. It's true, we'd go on, whatever was happening, there's still a big smile on our faces. You wake up, big smile on your face. It's just so full of joy. Sue Duncan tells me how she was praying one Friday night in her room, and she experienced the full force of God's love. And the next day, she'd promised to go and run the line in a hockey match, be the touch judge in a hockey match. And she didn't want to. So she just experienced God's love. She has to go and run the line of hockey. So she's running up and down the line in the wind and the rain. And all she wants to do is be back in her room praising God. To experience the Holy Spirit in this way is to be swept up into the Godhead and experience God's love firsthand. And when that happens, you don't want it to stop. And I love the question that Judas asks. Verse 22, then Judas, not Judas Iscariot, there were more than one Judas, okay? He said, but Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world? In other words, why just us? Why not everybody? And look at Jesus' reply. Verse 23, Jesus replied, if anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him. And we will come to him and make our home with him. If anyone loves me. I love these words from A.W. Tozer. He's talking about the fact that God is infinite. You know, if Jesus was God, if Jesus were the only experience we had of God, then he wouldn't be infinite because he was a man. But the Holy Spirit is God who is infinite. An infinite God can give all of himself to each one of his children. He does not distribute himself that each may have a part, but to each one he gives all of himself as fully as if there were no others. God's love, you see, made real in the Holy Spirit, is big enough for everyone. And yet, he goes on, Jesus, he says the experience of the Holy Spirit is not just about God's love. From that love, other things flow. Look at verse 26. The Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. In other words, from God's an experience of God's love flows an experience of the way God sees things, flows understanding from God's point of view. And that is seeing things as they really are. But it doesn't just... It's not just understanding the experience, it's also true peace. Verse 27, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not be afraid. So we've got love, understanding, and peace. I mean, what more could you ever want for in life? Is this not life in all its fullness? And that's what the experience of the Holy Spirit is. So why did the disciples have to wait? Why could they not experience all this straight away, there and then? Why did Jesus have to die? Well, the reason Jesus had to die was because this life that he's offering us is only made possible by his death. The cross is the door through which we all have to go before we can experience God's love in all its fullness. It's the cross that makes it possible for us to leave behind all the things that get between us and God, all the things that stop him coming into our lives. The cross enables us to be washed clean. It enables our house to have a complete spring clean, and to be made fit for the new occupant, if you like. And this new life that begins with the cross doesn't just stop there. Graham Tomlin, he wrote the Provocative Church that some of us read a few years back. He also wrote a book called The Prodigal Spirit. And in it, he speaks how on the cross, the bonds between the Father and the Son and the Spirit were somehow torn apart. It's a very profound thing. You know, sometimes you read a book and you just take one big thing from that book. And this is the one big thing I took from Graham Tomlin's book on the Holy Spirit. On the cross, the bonds, that incredible love that was there between God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit was somehow torn apart. My God, why have you forsaken me? It's just such a painful thing, such an awful thing, such an unimaginable thing. But Graham Tomlin suggests that if it hadn't been torn apart, there wouldn't have been room for the rest of us. But somehow, on the cross, that was torn apart so that when it came back together again, there was room for everybody, that we could be included. A bit like, I don't know if you play football, but footballers love huddling. And they get this big huddle. And it's a sort of demonstration of their solidarity and their faith in each other and their team spirit and all that sort of stuff. But huddles are very, very hard to join. But on the cross, that huddle between the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit was sort of loosened so that other people could be welcomed in. It's a lovely, lovely insight. It's sort of, if you follow the implications of it all, the cross changed things for us. It made it possible for us to start again. But the cross also changed things for God and us. The new life Jesus is promising has to begin at the cross. The cross is the door we all have to go through. But once through, well, that's when the new life starts. And it's a journey. And it's a journey of discovery. And it's a journey of discovery with God within us, drawing us up into the Godhead and leading us to a greater and greater experience of God's love and God's understanding and God's peace. And that is what happened on that first day of Pentecost. Those first Christians experienced life in all its fullness for the very first time. So here's a question for us all. Is this how we are experiencing our faith today? Are we experiencing God's love as a full-flowing river, or are we experiencing his love as a dripping tap? Are we experiencing his love as the boiler on full power? Or is it just the wee pilot light burning away in the dark? Let's close our eyes. And I want you to do some imagining now. Imagine that you are there on that very first Pentecost in the upper room with the other disciples. Jesus has died, he's risen, and he's ascended. He's no longer with you, and he's told you to meet together and pray together and to wait for this gift he's going to send. So there you are. You're in the upper room. You're with the other disciples, and you're waiting for the gift to come. And as you do that, you're remembering Jesus' words to you from John 14. Jesus' words to you from the night before he died. And so you find yourself having to ask these questions of yourself. How much do I really love him? How much do I really love him? And how much does it show? Holy God, we sit honestly in your presence, aware of all the things in our life that make you sad, all the things that we do that get between us and you, all the parts of our life that we keep you out of, all the things that Jesus died on the cross to take away. And we ask that you would take them away, that you would cleanse us, that you'd wash us clean, so that you can come in and fill us to overflowing with a sense of your love. Come now, Spirit of God. Fill us with your love. Come now, Spirit of God. Let's sing together. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Break.